You probably won't see any signs of the Christmastime flooding while you're rushing through the lobby and past the dinosaurs to get to the new exhibit.
As soon as you come into the hall, you're going to be confronted with 10-foot-wide jaws.
Scott Williams is the director of science and exhibits at Burpee.
And it is a model, a life-size model of a megalodon about 60 feet long. And you'll walk into it, if you dare.
The skeletal structure of the prehistoric whale-sized shark is pretty intimidating. The exhibit, created by a Gainesville, Florida museum, is making its first appearance in the Midwest. This area now displaying 17 million years' worth of sharks stayed dry as a fossil, while fragile animal skins and delicate artifacts soaked up water, then humidity, on the floor below. Back near the front entrance, Williams shows the hole in the wall where the trouble began.
This room was the first room affected. We had about 4 or 5 inches of standing water from the burst pipe. All the carpet that's in this room is going to be torn up, and it'll be recarpeted, and new baseboards will be attached.
Burpee Museum is closed just 5 days per year, and the frigid temperatures just happened to strike on two of those days. No one was there to notice the broken pipe, the pooling water, the water draining through the floor right onto the biology and anthropology collections in the basement.
We have probably around 200 total specimens that were damaged, and some of these will be simple cleanings. Some will be remounts and restorations, and we will probably have a handful of specimens that we'll have to deaccession and dispose of.
The area hit hardest isn't the public part of Burpee Museum. Williams points out that in general, museums only display about 5% of what they own. The rest is in storage for future exhibits or research. We enter a big workroom in the basement. This is where the most damaged specimens have been moved for evaluation and hopefully repairs. It's kind of like a zoo, a very quiet, sad zoo. Taxidermied animals are stacked on tables, crowded on the floors. Now it's clear why humidity control is so important to museums. Some of these stuffed animals were waterlogged. Others suffered from drying out after absorbing so much humid air. Their hides shrunk like an improperly washed and dried wool sweater. Like the head of this African antelope, the hartebeest.
This guy's jaws, basically, or the skin on his lower jaws popped off. Side of his face has split.
Restoration on the animal collection will range from some touch-up paint to hide split seams to taking the skin off and remounting it. The Burpee disaster was like a bat signal to the museum community. Experts from all over the region have jumped into action since the news broke. Nicolette Meister is with the Logan Museum of Anthropology at Beloit College. She says when she heard about the flooding, her first thought was whether the people were okay. They were. Her second thought, the collections.
The Burpee has absolutely amazing collections, and I think most people think of the Burpee Museum in terms of paleontology, but coming from an anthropology museum, of course, my first thought was the anthropology collections. So I was really excited to hear from Scott and to know that they were interested in bringing, you know, regional museum professionals to sort of come in, help assess the situation, and figure out, you know, the best way to respond.
Burpee's Native American collection took a hit in the flooding. A painted buffalo hide may have to be rehydrated and stretched. Water stains need to be lifted from rare baskets. Meister's working to make sure a ceremonial bow won't be damaged further by handling.
Well, today I'm actually building a specialized box, custom-made to fit a long bow that's made by the Hopi tribe of Arizona. And this bow is particularly fragile because it's been painted with red and blue paint in these beautiful geometric designs. It's got red cloth wrapped around the center of it and various dyed yarns around the end, so it's much more elaborate than most bows.
Meister says she's recommending the museum brings in an objects conservator if they want to restore the bow to its original appearance. But she's also helping Burpee move ahead with some of the simpler restorations. She brought along recent Beloit College grad Julia Lasher.
She's been doing a lot of hands-on work, surface cleaning baskets, and right now she's working on an elm bark canoe. So she's having a great time, you know, getting additional hands-on experience at the Burpee.
And Burpee's getting the dust carefully knocked off some of its artifacts, preventing further deterioration. Meanwhile, those who work at the Burpee Museum of Natural History are taking a good long look at what's in storage. It's easy to get excited about future exhibits when you look around that room full of animals waiting restoration. Scott Williams' favorite, the leopard, will look great relaxing on a tree trunk in an exhibit about habitat conservation. But the stars of that exhibit will be the lions. The split seams will be repaired, and they'll be able to tell their urgent story of a nosediving sub-Saharan population.
Lions are probably going to be on the threatened list pretty darn soon. And that's due to habitat loss as well as hunting, poaching, things like that. So lions make a really good, flashy example on why wildlife conservation is important.
Insurance is expected to cover a lot of the flood damage. But Williams says, as a not-for-profit museum, Burpee's always looking for public support. And one way people can help the museum recover from that December flood is by adopting a specimen. Or go see the sharks. They're there through April. I'm Susan Stevens, WNIJ News.